Tamworth. Morning, boys. If rugby league continues to pick the low-hanging fruit of ref bashing, we will never progress, nor will we focus on legitimate issues. That's Mitch from Tamworth. P.S. Minus five when I went for a coffee this morning. Mum's been saying I've had a heap of sub-zero temperatures the last week or so.
Mitch, you've got to understand who is picking the low-hanging fruit. Who is picking the low-hanging fruit? We'll talk about that too after the break. We've got Phil Moss in the house. We're all excited about the World Cup final coming up. And, of course, we're going to have a chat with Anthony Seibold, the South Sydney Rabbitohs coach.
I'm Sarah Warmby. A cancer drug that treats an aggressive form of lymphoma will be subsidised from next month, making it affordable for hundreds of patients. The drug Imbruvica is used to treat mantle cell lymphoma when there's a relapse after chemotherapy. Without it, many patients have a survival rate of just 1 to 2 years. Health Minister Greg Hunt announced that from August 1st, Imbruvica will be available through the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme. Hundreds of truck drivers across Australia are holding convoys today to highlight safety issues in the industry. The Transport Workers Union is concerned the industry has become the deadliest in Australia, accounting for over 30% of all workplace deaths. The union's acting National Secretary, Michael Caine, has told Macquarie action is needed.
2 years ago, the federal government abolished a tribunal that was starting to do some good work in this area. And now the federal government's sitting on its hands. It needs to get off its hands, put a body in place that has the power to hold those with the economic clout to account so that the carnage on our roads can stop.
A man has been charged with attempted murder after another man was stabbed several times in the abdomen in Adelaide. The 29-year-old man from West Lakes was arrested at the scene of the stabbing in Sussex Street, Alberton, yesterday afternoon. A 43-year-old man who is known to the charged man underwent emergency surgery at the Royal Adelaide Hospital. Police say his condition is still considered serious but stable. The younger man remains under police guard at Queen Elizabeth Hospital after he was treated for a hand injury. He'll appear in court tomorrow after being refused police bail. A 28-year-old man has briefly faced court after allegedly assaulting two police officers and endangering four others by driving a stolen 4.5-tonne truck towards them before ramming a police car. Peter Holden has more.
Jason Borg of Hoppers Crossing faces 14 charges after he allegedly rammed the stolen truck into a police vehicle on Blackforest Road just before 3 a.m. on Saturday. He is charged with intentionally damaging an emergency services vehicle, assaulting police, intentionally damaging a police sedan valued at $70,000, dangerous driving, and driving knowing he had been given a direction to stop. Borg also faces two counts of recklessly engaging in conduct, driving a 4.5-tonne flatbed truck towards police vehicles, placing its occupants in danger of serious injury. He is also accused of dishonestly retaining stolen goods, two registration plates, stealing a Ford truck valued at $7,000, possessing methamphetamine, and damaging an emergency services vehicle while on bail. I'm Peter Holden in Melbourne.
Also in news, all Queensland schoolgirls will have the choice to wear shorts or pants at state schools from next year following an overhaul of uniform policy. The Sunday Mail reports at about 40% of Queensland state schools, the only uniform options available to girls are skirts and dresses. And British Prime Minister Theresa May has warned Tory rebels seeking to wreck her blueprint to leave the EU that they could be left with no Brexit at all unless they fall into line. She said a threatened Commons revolt by pro and anti-EU MPs risked undermining any chances of a deal with Brussels. In an article for the Mail, she called for MPs to take a practical and pragmatic approach rather than face a damaging and disorderly Brexit. This is Air News. Wimbledon has crowned a new queen, and for his report, here's Air Sports' Paul Walsh.
Angelique Kerber has collected her third Grand Slam women's title after she was too accomplished for Serena Williams, taking out the 2018 Wimbledon women's singles title in straight sets, 6-3, 6-3, in just 65 minutes. Unforced errors were the key to the final result, with Williams registering 24 to her opponent's 5. It was uncharacteristic for Williams, but understandable given her past 12 months and her lack of recent match practice. However, Kerber had her game plan, stuck to it, and was ultimately the victor.
You know, I was trying just being aggressive, and when I have the chance going for it, because I know that she served well and that I have to move good moving her as well. And I knew that I have to take my first chance, because you never know with her. She is fighting until the last one.
The Canberra Raiders have kept their NRL season alive with a 38-12 win over the North Queensland Cowboys at Canberra Stadium. Earlier, Melbourne beat Manly 14-13 and South Sydney defeated Canterbury 24-6. In AFL, the GWS Giants celebrated a two-point win over competition leaders the Richmond Tigers, 11-13-79 to 10-17-77. There were also wins for Essendon, Melbourne and Brisbane. And at the World Cup, Belgium has claimed third place after beating England 2-0. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Does your bed feel as cramped as peak hour traffic? Well, right now at 40 Winks, you can get any size mattress for the price of a single. Hurry, limited time only, 40 Winks. Serious about sleep. In Blacktown, lights are flashing on Richmond Road at Kildare Road, and also in Maryland on Maryland's Road at Pitt Street. And in the city, look out for extra pedestrians around Circular Quay Customs House and the Rocks for the Bastille Festival today. Royal Caribbean's half-year clearance must end July 18. Now is your last chance to save up to 40% off cruises. Visit royalcaribbean.com.au or your travel agent. Conditions apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
60 months interest free until Monday only at Harvey Norman. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until July 2023. 60 months interest free store wide. Minimum financed amount $1,000. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Until Monday only. 60 months interest free store wide. No deposit, no interest with 60 equal monthly payments until July 2023 at Harvey Norman.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney area, sunny, frost and patchy fog in the west this morning. Light winds becoming west and northwesterly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour in the middle of the day, and then becoming light in the early afternoon. 18 degrees is expected maximum, and it's going to be sunny, and there's no chance of rain. That's not too bad there, Raymond.
Very low key there, Jim. Tempe. You haven't told me where to go yet.
Give me a chance.
Sorry.
What is the current temperature at Tempe, Ray? And what about way out west at Tibooburra?
Okay, Tempe's currently 8 degrees, heading for a top of 17. Tibooburra, ever been there, Jim?
Never.
Right out northwest, currently at 7 degrees, heading for a top of 17 in Tibooburra.
De Bruyne, it's square, Hazard, he could wrap it up here, he has done. Eden Hazard, through the middle. Right man, right time, and for Belgium, as though they'll be leaving here with bronze medals.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Diverse range of topics that we cover off-air, don't we, in the ad break, so we'll get to them never. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Big hour coming up. It's the final hour of the program. Phil Moss very shortly with his World Cup preview and review. So we'll have a look at that. Anthony Seibold, the South Sydney Rabbitohs coach. Tanya will give us a sports update. Trent Lanscar will tell us all the latest odds. And, of course, we'll hear from Scotty Foster, see whether he sold that car this week. We're talking about our changes of rules that have impacted the game. Whatever game, doesn't matter. A lot of nominations for the corner post. Any more spring to mind, Raymond?
Remember, I read about Walter Lindrum when he had the 4,037 world record break in billiards or something.
Wow.
He had a particular shot that they outlawed. Was it the cannon shot or something?
Okay.
Anyway, they banned that because he was just too good.
I heard they changed the laws of the game. So too Don Bradman, they changed the laws of the game.
Farlap changed the weight for age conditions.
Oh, there you go. Malcolm Johnston,
He was too good and rode too many winners as an apprentice.
Too many winners as an apprentice. Yeah. So keep those coming in. The nominations, we want them online at 1353.53. Our next guest, of course, talking World Cup, we might ask him the biggest rule change that's happened in the world of football over the last number of years that it's been in play. Phil Moss, good morning, mate.
Good morning, guys. The biggest rule change would have to be the back pass to the goalkeeper, I think.
Yeah, we had mentioned.
We had that. Anthony, a caller, said, back pass, and he couldn't pick it up.
Yeah, that's right. So that's
when was that
a good thing.
Brought in, Phil?
Oh, now you're testing me. Crikey. A while.
Right.
Okay. Is that a good enough answer?
Yeah.
Boys saying early noughties. The boys are saying early noughties.
Yeah, it's been a while, definitely.
Okay.
While I was still playing, so decades ago.
Okay.
Do you play? just on that, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
It's been a while since we've had you here. Why is that?
Wonderful to be here. Yeah. Because you brought my segment forward a little bit.
So. Oh, right. So we're now accommodating you, are we?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, fair enough.
It's good to have Phil in the house.
I agree with that.
It's much better for the banter when there's eye contact.
There is.
Much better.
You know exactly what he means when you look at him, don't you, when he's having a game.
Sometimes I have to say, it was funny that he spoke about Tipperborough before with the weather.
Yes.
I don't think he's ever tipped a borough in his life.
Yeah, that's
ever done
right.
One of those words, Jimmy?
I
no,
grew
I know,
up on
you're a
farm.
Country boy.
On
I
a
know.
Farm,
boy. I know, but you probably had the automatic wheelbarrows, didn't
let
in those
me tell
days.
You, mate, I was the gate opener. So as soon as I could open a gate for the old man, I was
get
in
the car,
truck.
Open
the
gate.
He'd stop, right? You go and get that gate.
Yep.
A lot of them work COD. Not cash on delivery, carry or drag for those gates. Hey, let's talk about this World Cup coming up. We've got the big final, of course, but the game just played overnight. Belgium 2-0 over England. The overall game itself, the fact that it's on, it's a big money spinner for them, obviously, but do we care who ran third, who ran fourth?
No. You know, Belgium won the game that no one wants to play, really.
Yeah,
I say that, it's an interesting talking point because every player just wants to play games. But at the end of a tournament like that, you've got 2 days to get over the disappointment of missing out on the final.
Yeah.
No one really wants to play it. And for me, if I'm a club coach back in Europe,
injuries.
I'm thinking if one of my players cops an injury, the European season's a month away. Mm. If you cop an injury in a who cares game like that, at the end of a very taxing tournament, you'd be absolutely filthy.
Absolutely.
So, look, I think the game's outgrown the third versus fourth playoff.
Yep.
I don't think we need it, but obviously money talks, and that's what it's about.
Just quickly, Phil, Belgium had a brilliant tournament, probably a little bit stiff against France, perhaps. England, success or failure?
Yeah, look, I think it was a success from a point of view. It's the one that got away from them because I thought they had the chance to put Croatia away the other morning, particularly
Kane
in the first half.
Yeah.
Kane should have scored. Lingard had a great chance. Yeah. Croatia were a bit loose defensively. But then to Croatia's credit, given the fact they were off the back of two extra time and penalty shootout games to get there, I thought they got stronger the longer the game went on. And that probably comes from belief as well because England didn't put them away in the first half.
Holding them out.
Yeah, that's right. And then they finished with a wet sail and fully deserved to be in the final. But from England's point of view, I think Gareth Southgate has turned the England squad into human beings again. They've been a lot more accessible, a lot more likeable to watch. And I think he's set a platform that can really set them up for the next European Championships and the World Cup.
France $1.90, the draw $3.30, Croatia $4.75. So we have a clear favourite in this one. Are France have played as well as they possibly can? Are they the sum of their parts?
Probably not yet, and that's a scary part because Croatia, for all the credit that they deserve, and this is a two-horse race, so there's every chance that they could spring an upset. They are the longest of long shots since about 1962, I think it was, with Czechoslovakia.
Wow.
But certainly France have been building nicely in this tournament. They've got so much quality, it's frightening. Have they really needed to use all that quality yet? Probably not. I mean, they've got to where they've got to by doing what they've done. But certainly you just get the feeling that they're ready to explode. And I think they would have been sitting back with a slightly wry grin on their face the other night when the Croatia game went to extra time. Three extra time games for Croatia on the way there. But I think the big thing France will have learnt, and I've heard some comments and read some comments coming out of their camp, that don't forget they lost the 2016 European Cup final to Portugal. And there was a couple of comments this week that we were probably maybe a little bit overconfident, a little
bit
complacent going into that game, and they copped the backhander and lost the game to Cristiano Ronaldo's Portugal. So if they haven't learnt from that lesson going into this game, they never will. So I think they'll come into this game all guns firing.
Okay, well, if I could put your coach's hat on for Croatia. Everyone expects France to win this, to be fair. If you were coaching Croatia, what do you tell your players and how do you go about trying to cause this potentially massive upset?
Mm. Look, I think from a mentality point of view, it really is about continuing to do what they've been doing. Zlatko Dalic, the Croatian coach, has done a magnificent job. He's made them believe that they're invincible, and that's why they're in the final. It's a country of, what, 4.1
million?
Smaller than Sydney.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Amazing.
And they're obviously going into it mentally saying, well, we've got 4.1 or 2 million people on the pitch with us.
Yeah.
So the whole country's behind them. But I think that the key tactically is they have to counter the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by that, what I mean is when Croatia are going forward with the ball, they have to be on their mettle in rest defence to make sure, because France is so deadly on the counter-attack with the likes of Mbappe, Griezmann, Giroud, Matuidi, Pogba driving from midfield. So Croatia, when they've got the ball, they have to be set defensively behind the ball to make sure that those players don't have space to be hit when France win the ball.
Based on that, are we setting ourselves up for a, for want of a better term, boring final? If Croatia's worried about the counter and France are there saying, well, we counter really well, so we can stay in defence.
Yeah, look, I don't think so, because when you got the likes of Modric and Mandzukic, Perisic the other morning scored and assisted, Rebic on the other side, you know, they've got plenty of players that can hurt France going forward. But what I mean by that is I think Rakitic and Brozovic in midfield have got a crucial role to play. They have to make sure they're set up behind the ball and they get the right balance. But I don't think there'll be a boring game of football when France are involved.
So that's got to be a lot of running then.
Yeah, that's what number sixes do. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of running.
You're going to ask them to do over and above what they're usually asked to do.
Well, it's a World Cup final. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no...
You can't do it then.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Overall, you're tipping France to win. The World Cup itself, I think it's been a phenomenal success in Russia.
It really has, and if you look at the semi-final stage, eight out of the top 10 ranked teams that went into the tournament were sitting back at home.
Yeah.
So it's been a nightmare for punters. So to all our listeners who have lost money over the course of the last month, I do feel for you. But it's been a wonderful tournament, and I think the changing of the guard from an individual superstar player point of view, from the likes of Messi and Ronaldo to the likes of De Bruyne, Mbappe, of course, Sheryshev from Russia.
Mm.
Like, he scored some unbelievable goals in this tournament. And he was let go from, I think it was Real Madrid, about 2 or 3 years ago. And,
right.
and he really announced himself this World Cup as well.
I was going to ask you, player of the tournament? I know you're big on Mbappe.
Yeah, I am. And at the age of 19 as well,
I think
that probably sets him apart a little bit. But I tell you what, Pickford in goal for England has been an absolute standout as well.
He's great to watch, isn't he?
And passionate. Not just with his hands, but with his feet as well.
Yeah.
His distribution has been first class. And I love seeing a goalkeeper who strikes a ball with his feet like he's a field player.
Yeah.
And that's what he's brought to this tournament. And Southgate made the comment that he went and watched him this Premier League season, just gone, and he was praying that he wouldn't be injured, that he'd be fit for this World Cup, because he's how he wanted to get his team playing out from the back. He was a key to the way Southgate wanted to play. That's not often you hear that about a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Incredible mentality, from what I understand. Like, he was in the under 15, 16, 17, England, all the way through, and he just, as all he believed in, that he can make a difference.
Mm.
So that was great. Hey, just quickly before we let you go, mate, Leroy George has come out and said some controversial statements about the A-League and about where you finish and what it means and so forth. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's right. Interestingly, the headlines are that Sydney FC are talking to him, so I don't know the intricate details of that, but he's an exciting player and I'd hate to see him lost to the A-League. But he came out during the week and said, with all due respect, the A-League's not of a very high standard. Big cross in that box. I know what he's trying to say, but it's disrespectful to a league that gave him a season here, and he's a chance of staying in it, because I know Western Sydney are talking to him as well, Melbourne City. But he also said that, how can you finish 23 points behind the Premiers, which Melbourne Victory finished behind us at Sydney FC, but still celebrate a championship. To that point, we'll always have finals here. It's the Australian way.
Yeah. Yes.
But certainly I think what needs to come off the back of that is that the Premiers get a second bite of the cherry. We had our first semi-final, and we had a slightly off day, and Melbourne Victory had
a bit
of luck,
season,
and that's our season done. So certainly off the back of that, I'd like to see the finals format change slightly, that the premiers do get a second bite.
And deserve to do so.
Yeah, that's right. But certainly, you know, I was a bit annoyed to see the comments from him and the way, unless they were taken out of context, I don't know. But when you get the chance to come to Australia and play football and you're a foreigner, and, you know, you need to give the league all the respect it deserves. And nothing's sacred. It was in a Dutch newspaper, but it goes viral,
course,
comments
exactly
like that. So it came back to us pretty quickly.
Quickly then, your thoughts, France-Croatia. France to lift the cup, $1.42. Croatia, $2.85.
Yeah, France to win, 2-0. Mbappe, first goal scorer.
Okay, there we go. 2-0, Mbappe, first goal scorer.
Let's not sit on the fence.
Great to have you in the studio, Phil.
It's been a pleasure to be here, Ray.
Yeah, good to have you, Phil. little backhander.
A little cutout pass there. Not bad.
I love starting my Sunday morning with you too.
good to see you, Phil.
Good to see you, mate.
See you next week. Enjoy the World Cup, mate.
Will do.
There he is, Phil Moss, his thoughts on the World Cup. We'll take a quick break now. We'll be back with the coach. No, we're not taking a quick break. We're just having a really short break. And then we're back with Anthony Seibold.
Cook again, scurrying from dummy half. Look at him go, Damien Cook, pulled down by Lewis. But the offload comes. Now Crichton hits a support player. More support. Adam Reynolds races away. Fantastic rugby league, South Sydney.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, nice little play on there. Good call, Matty Russell, and a good try it was by the South Sydney Rabbitohs. They had a win 24-6 over the Bulldogs yesterday, and their coach is Anthony Seibold, who's been good enough to join us on the line today. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray.
Morning, Anthony.
Just on that, why don't we start with Damien Cook? 10 runs, 122 metres, just the 46 tackles for him yesterday in not quite an 80-minute performance. I guess from a coaching point of view, Anthony, one of the things that must give you the most pleasure is to see players blossom and play to their potential, which is certainly what Damien's done this year. What was it about him early on that you saw that gave him the nod to get the 9 jersey for South Sydney, and what are your thoughts on his progression this year to become standout State of Origin player?
Yeah, Jimmy, to start with, you know, he's you know, probably the most improved player in the competition, I would suggest. You know, I think his performances probably indicate that, but I think a lot of it's down to Damien. You know, he did a lot of you know, a lot of work away from the Rabbitohs during the off-season. You know, he spent plenty of time, you know, working on some areas of his game that I asked him to improve on, and I think he did a particularly good job. He had a tremendous pre-season off the back of that work, and I just thought that he was ready, you know, to assume an 80-minute hooking role. I think all the indicators that I saw during the pre-season suggested that. And, you know, I was really up front with him and Faz. You know, I said to Cookie, you're going to get first crack at this. And, you know, I told Faz that. And I think, you know, Cookie's, you know, got better and better. And, you know, really proud of, you know, his Origin series, but really proud of him yesterday. I think, you know, it was an immense performance from him yesterday.
Yeah, good morning, Anthony. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, a lot of coaches have got a dilemma this round, whether to play their Origin players or to rest them. You chose to play yours. What was the thinking behind that, Anthony?
Yeah, well, it was a bit around continuity and cohesion for the group. I think, you know, I rested the players against the Gold Coast after game one. You know, we only had a 2-day turnaround, so I was very you know, strong on that. The four players wanted to play that game, but, you know, we had planned that they were not to play, so I rested them then. And then after game two, they did play, but it was a 7-day turnaround, so there was no dramas there for them. In this game, I just thought that, you know, their teammates and us as a club, you know, needed them to play. I think, you know, all three were really keen to play. We've looked after them very well from a training load point of view. You know, leading up to the Cowboys game, which was after Origin 2, they had 5 days off, so they literally had one training session leading into that game. As I said, I rested them after the Gold Coast game. They've now got a couple of days off where they'll be away from football. So we've done a very good job, I think, at managing their loads, but I just thought it was really important for them to you know, show their commitment to the club yesterday.
Mm. Now, stays top of the comp, well, potentially, unless the Dragons have a big win today. It'd have to be a really big win. But 13 wins. I think the tries were certainly going into this round, 68, and most in the competition. I think that would surprise most people. Is that something you set out to do, Anthony, to Yes, of course you want to win, but how you want to win seems to be part of the equation at South Sydney this year as well.
Yeah, certainly, Jimmy. I've said it a number of times. You know, we changed up our game model with regards to our attack, and without going into detail what we did there, we spent a lot of time on that part of our game over the preseason. I think everyone would agree that we needed to improve that area of our game. I think finishing 12th, two seasons in a row, probably being not so strong from an attacking point of view, particularly the last sort of 24 months, we needed to invest a lot of time in it. So we did that, mate. We've seen some improvement. I think did we think that we'd get so much improvement so quick? I'm not too sure, but certainly we were hoping to. And we're pleased with our progress there. We weren't so happy yesterday. We were quite scrappy to start both halves of the game. We made some line breaks there and pushed the pass on a number of occasions, and we needed to be more clinical than that. So, we're not so happy with how we attacked yesterday. That one thing I did enjoy yesterday was our defence. Our scramble there was outstanding. I think we saved three or four tries, which suggests that the guys working really hard for each other.
Mm. Just back to your attack, Anthony, one of the beneficiaries has been Robert Jennings, who's developed in a tremendous finisher this season. Another hat-trick last night, now leads the NRL for tries scored this season. But if we wind back to the start of the pre-season, you made some comments yesterday that he came in over his ideal weight off to start pre-season training, and in your words, he needed to kick up the backside.
Yeah, I think Janko, I'm not too sure if people know his background, but he was an absolutely outstanding junior. He was an elite junior, made all the Australian schoolboys junior kangaroos a number of years in a row. And he just has so much potential. Obviously, his older brothers, also been very good footballers as well in their own right. But I saw immense potential in Janko. I just didn't think he'd achieved it. He's 22 now, so he's not a young boy anymore. I think it's time for him to sort of make a stand. So when he turned up, 8 kilos overweight on day one of pre-season, I wasn't really happy about it because I thought that showed a lot of disrespect to what I was trying to do as a coach and what we're trying to do as a club. So he was starting from a long way back, and he spent the majority of pre-season with training with our second team. I mean, we have depth chart, and we'd have 13v13 training, and effectively, how well you train, how well you perform with the training, and what you were doing around the group suggested what team you're in. And he spent a big portion of the pre-season in the second team, and he needed to work really hard. So along with one or two others, he was in a group that had to do a lot of extras. So he's worked really hard, but just something clicked at the back end of the pre-season, and I gave him a chance, and he's taken the chance, and he's just been more consistent with his preparation. I think he's starting to understand that you've got to look after not just your football side of things, but you're away from footy as well.
Yeah. Having coached Sam Burgess, you were there as an assistant last year, but having coached him now, there was a stat that came up in the Raiders game last night, and it talked about most consecutive games with 100-plus metres. Sam Burgess topped the list at a ridiculous number, well over two or three seasons. Do you get a greater appreciation for what he brings to a side? He's a middle forward, or can play on the edge, but he's churning out 80 minutes, and his numbers are spectacular.
Yeah, I've got so much respect for Sam as a person, as a player. I think he's been immense. He's been a really big help to me, along with Sutto and GI. They're the three leaders. So we spend quite a bit of time together, during the week, doing some planning around our week and so on. So just what he brings off the field is enormous. But, I actually saw that stat, Jimmy, last night. I was watching that game when I got home after our game. And, I think it might have been 68 or something like that. Straight, which is incredible. But he puts in week in, week out. He's a very good player for us. He's outstanding forward, and he's immense from that point of view.
Anthony, 9 wins in a row now for the Rabbits. They're chugging along so well. They're ruthless. They're efficient. They're getting the job done each and every week. Less than 2 months to the finals. How do you sort of keep the players focused on the now rather than looking ahead to September?
Yeah, well, again, I repeat myself quite a bit with this, Ray. We have a really next job mentality to our coaching and to how we prepare. So, we haven't looked at the bigger picture whatsoever. Our next job is to come in. The guys have today off. We review our game tomorrow, so that's our next job. From a coaching point of view or a coaching staff point of view, we need to make sure we're really consistent with our review of the game and the way that we present it to the players on Monday. And then the next job for the players is our Tuesday session. It's a physical day on Tuesday, and they understand that. We've got a good routine there now, so they know that that's their next job. So, you know, it's really narrow focus for us, and, you know, that's the way that I like to coach.
Mm. Inglis update, the thumb injury, and the further part to this question, Anthony, has having the break at this time after a couple of Origin games, good timing for Greg Inglis?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you never like to see somebody injured, but I think from a physical point of view and a load point of view, it's not such a bad thing for Greg. He's 2 weeks into his rehab now, so he's got you know, another 4 weeks to go.
Yep.
So he was back at training on Friday, starting his rehab. He'll jump into, you know, more running and you know, some work in the gym tomorrow, and it's pretty much full steam ahead. I think you know, they put 6 screws in his thumb, so, you know, it wasn't a small injury. It's quite a big one, but you know, we had you know, the best sort of protocols in place for him. He got operated on the day after he did it against the Cowboys, and so we got a really, you know, positive head start on that, and he's only a couple of weeks away.
Mm. John Sutton, 300 coming up next week. That's a significant milestone for a significant player in the club. How will that be celebrated?
Yeah, certainly we're going to do some things internally during the week to, I suppose, yeah, recognise the significance of the achievement. You know, Sutto's the first and only player to do that at the Rabbitohs. And I think, you know, we've got a 110-year history as a club, and some of the greats of the game, you know, John Sattler, Bobby McCarthy, you know, Ronnie Coote, Mike Cleary, you know, Mario Fanning, Les Davison. You could go on and on and on with the players who have played for this club. Well, Sutto's the only person ever to achieve 300 games, so it is very significant. So we've got some things internally during the week that will recognise that. Obviously, it's the West Tigers home game this weekend, but you know, there'll be some things in and around the lead up to that. And then the following weekend, when we host our home game, which I think is paramount off the top of my head, we'll recognise Sutter there as well. But yeah, certainly there'll be some things in place. But I know Sutter, he won't want it to be a distraction.
Mm. And finally, contract status for Anthony Seibold. What's the contract status for you at the moment?
Yeah, Jimmy, I've got a year to go on my contract. Yeah, so 2019, I'm contracted till the end of that season. So, you know, the club's had a very brief chat to me and made an offer to, you know, my agent, Isaac Moses. You know, so at the moment, I just like to, you know, sit on that. I don't want it to be a distraction, Jimmy, to what we're trying to do, because I think that would be really selfish of me. You know, I talk to the players about putting the team first, so... you know, I want to really focus on getting through this year. I've got, you know, as I said, you know, almost 18 months to go on my contract, so I don't think there's any need to rush it. You know, at the end of the season, I just want to get through this in my maiden season as a head coach, get through this season, and then I can sit down and we can have some really considered discussion, you know, around, you know, what we do moving forward.
Is it big enough?
Is what big enough?
Mate? He's not letting this go, Anthony.
The initial offer. Or you say, no, go back and come back again, guys.
Not letting it go, Anthony.
Yeah, mate, you're not letting it go, Jimmy. No, as I said, I don't know more. Oh, you know, the thing is, mate, I love the club. I love the group of players that I'm playing with. You know, it's been a really positive start to my coaching career here, but also, you know, there's a number of other things, you know, that come into consideration. But at the moment, as I said, it's been a really positive start, and I really enjoy working for the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, I'm having a bit of fun with you, Steve. No problem whatsoever. I totally understand. Look, they're going great. They're absolutely flying, and it's
great to watch.
The manner in which they play as well, fantastic. Top of the comp. There's no other place you'd want to be. Anthony, really appreciate your time this morning.
Good on you guys. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks.
Anthony Seibold there, coach of the Rabbitohs. Highly impressive.
It's got a team-first ethos. It's great. NRL, are they starting to do more, and do they do enough to celebrate these milestones? Like John Sutton's next week, it's a really big thing in the AFL. I've noticed in recent years the NRL are doing it a lot better than they ever used to.
And could improve. Yeah. You know, they do the big... They should be doing more around 100 games, 150, 200.
300 is a massive milestone for John Sutton.
Huge.
Rabbitohs history, I didn't realise it.
Huge. And you could argue he is playing better than ever. I would argue that John Sutton's contributions in 2018 have been better than he's ever been.
It's a cliche. They're a happy football team, aren't they? They're enjoying their football, and it's reflecting in how each and every player is playing.
Take your thoughts on the Rabbitohs. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with a sports update. We'll have Trent Lanscar from TAB and, of course, your calls on that open line number.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line windows window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Where will the smart buyers be in 2019? Inglis was the only auction house to sell a Group 1 winning two-year-old in 2018. Give your yearlings the best chance at the greatest success. Entries for the 2019 sales series close August 3. Go to inglis.com.au.
For more grunt, talk and comfort, go and see the man. What man? The man from Mazda. Hurry into Penrith Mazda for the 2017 plate departure on the BT50. With the BT50 XT 4x4 manual, now just $39,990. Drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Ute Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to suit your specific needs. With over 50 utes on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Belgium defeated England 2-0 to finish third at the Football World Cup overnight in St Petersburg. Gareth Southgate's team were unable to bounce back from the despair of the extra time loss to Croatia in the semi, but a fourth place for England equals their best ever result at an away World Cup. The big one tonight, Croatia versus France in Moscow. The French are the favourites and the match to kick off at 1 a.m. Angelique Kerber defeated Serena Williams 6-3, 6-3 to claim her first Wimbledon singles title overnight, the first German woman to win since Steffi Graf in 1996. While disappointed, Serena said she was happy just to get through to the final so soon into her comeback. She gave birth to her daughter Olympia just last September. Meantime, Novak Djokovic is one match away from a first Grand Slam title since 2016 after an epic five-set win over Rafael Nadal in their delayed semi-final. Djokovic won 10-8 in the fifth set, and he'll take on South African Kevin Anderson in tonight's final. Melbourne just did enough in a highly spirited match against Manly to beat the Sea Eagles 14-13 in the NRL game at Lotto Land. Manly led 12-0, the Storm taking the lead for the first time in the match with 8.5 minutes to go. In a below-freezing Canberra, the Raiders beat North Queensland 38-12, blasting to the victory with 4 second-half tries, and South a comfortable win over the Bulldogs 24-6. 3 games today, Brisbane take on the Warriors, St George Illawarra host the West Tigers, and at 6:30 the Gold Coast play the Roosters. The Brumbies beat the Waratahs 40-31 in Super Rugby last night, the loss dropping them to third on the overall ladder. The Tars are the only Aussie team through to the quarterfinals after topping the Australian Conference and will play the Highlanders in a knockout final next weekend. In other quarters, the Crusaders play the Sharks, the Lions versus the Jaguars, and the Hurricanes take on the Chiefs. GWS beat ladder leaders Richmond in the AFL match last night at Spotless Stadium by 2 points, 79-77. Both coaches, however, very unhappy with the performance of the umpires, airing their grievances in their post-match press conferences. Elsewhere, Essendon beat the Gold Coast. Melbourne, a 50-point win over the Western Bulldogs. Today, the Swans are away to North Melbourne. US Navy flag flew into Everest contention by winning the prestigious July Cup overnight at Newmarket in England. Trainer Aidan O'Brien confirmed US Navy flag will now be refreshed and set for the $13 million the Everest in the Coolmore slot at Royal Randwick on October 13, meaning we could possibly see the great trainer for the first time ever right here in Sydney. A plethora of European soccer club friendlies overnight. The standout, Everton versus a team from Austria, won 22-0, which included a goal every 4 minutes or so and four players scoring hat-tricks. Aussie Richie Porte is in 10th place after the 8th stage of the Tour de France, 57 seconds behind the leader Greg Van Avermaet, while Chris Froome is in 12th place. Super Netball and West Coast 74 beat the Swifts 68 last night. The Giants play the Firebirds today in Brisbane. Aussie Scott Hend is one off the lead with six others heading into the final round tonight of the Scottish Golf Open. And boys still with golf, Canberra teenager Adam Thorpe is being chased by a pack of top US colleges like Michigan and Georgia State after winning the Junior World Championships in California. Winners of that include Jason Day and Tiger Woods. So not bad for a 17-year-old from Canberra. I'd say his future is pretty made. Much set.
You'd rather be in UCLA than Canberra, really, wouldn't it? It's a bit chilly there. Not good for your golf. I've got to say, if I had a child who was a very good golfer,
I would send them to the US College Centre. They play in beautiful golf courses.
Well, this is at Torrey Pines, this one.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
Great golf courses consistently for 4 years.
And, Tan, you did some sideline eye stuff in your day. Can you imagine sitting there in Canberra last night, -4?
Poor Megan Barnard, poor little thing. Now, you wanted some royal news, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes.
The UK media was in a bit of a tiz overnight because it was the tale of the double duchess. Duchesses?
Yes.
What's plural for duchess?
The Dutch Eye.
Anyway, Meghan and Kate, their first solo engagement without their husbands, were in the royal box for the tennis last night at Wimbledon. Kate is the patron for the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club, and Meghan, a very close friend of Serena's.
Yeah.
So it worked out quite well.
Serena was
in
the final at the wedding.
She was. And also noticed sitting directly behind them was Martina Navratilova and Billie Jean King. So tennis royalty.
But of course, the royals,
they got the front row seats there. And in case you were wondering, Jimmy, Meghan was in a blue and white striped Ralph Lauren shirt, $779, pretty much sold out now.
I was going to say, it would sell out.
It was a beautiful shirt, and it just sold out.
How do they do that? Do you reckon they've got deals in place?
Like of course they have.
No, she's a royal. You can't.
Please wear this, and why they
You know, I don't think they're allowed to accept anything.
Yeah.
They're not. They have to buy. Meghan is fairly wealthy in her own right before she married Harry, so a lot of the outfits that she wore at the appearances that she made before they got married, she paid for herself.
Right.
Yeah. But now, obviously, she's got Harry's deep pockets to help her along.
But that, as you say, like, if you had an agent on the side, you could cut some deals with some... I know it's not all about that, Ray.
No,
you could cut some deals with some clothing manufacturers and say, all right, I wear this one, it sells out. I wear that, it sells out.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in Hollywood. Like they talk about their outfits and their jewels and...
Who are you wearing?
That's the most inane question in the history of man. Unless I was wearing them, then I would be very happy to get that, Jim?
What are you wearing, James?
No, but I tell you what, well, I was at the Deli M's one time and Tracy
line
was there.
The best line in history.
They said, oh, who are you wearing? And Tracy said, I'm wearing the generosity of my husband's American Express card.
Comeback.
And it made it the best ever. It made it onto the Today Show.
As it should.
She was sending it back to the US and everything.
Went viral.
went viral, allegedly. Thank you, Tan. I do appreciate that. 1353 53 is the open line number. We got callers on the line there. Let's go to Sava up at Gunnedah. G'day, Sava.
G'day, lads.
Morning, Sava.
I turned my water on to get a cup of hot water and my taps are frozen.
-5 in Tamworth, Savas. What is it in Gunnedah?
I'm not going to go outside. But here's what I think is a lovely story. Great mate of mine, Dennis Meaney, who had a couple of pubs here for years. He's also played for West in that game where Arthur Summons and Norm Proven came off.
Yes.
And I noticed on Friday night Nick Meaney playing for the Knights.
Yes.
And he had a terrific game, and I'd say that is Dennis's grandson.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll try and do some homework on that.
But going on from that, Dennis also coached Nathan Brown when he was playing for South Lismore.
Ah.
So the story goes on.
Mm.
But I'm so thrilled to think that Dennis has now passed away, God bless him, but to think that he's got a grandson now coming up through the grades. He said that he was going to Canterbury next year, the kid. He played fullback, and he also played very well.
Yeah, he's a guy that's been in and around there for a long time. I know Joel Kane is a massive supporter of Nick Meaney. He's a really good athlete, and let's hope he can make a career of his in the NRL. Good on you, Sav.
I'm thrilled for the Meaney family because Dennis was also a country selector for years. And it's so lovely to see this kid coming up.
Yeah, fantastic. I know he's from up around that area, Ballina, I think. Ballina Seagulls. So I don't know if that does anything for you. But, Dennis Meaney played...
Manly grand finals against St George, 57.
Manly Western Suburbs, played in those grand finals. Had a long, very long career in the Sydney Rugby League. Good on you, Sava.
Good call.
Yeah, good update on that one. Let's go to Colin. G'day, Cole.
Morning, Jimmy. How are you?
Really well, mate. What do you got for us?
Mate, just wanted to say good morning to you and Ray.
Morning, Cole.
Jimmy, you're still sort of public enemy number one in my books. I'm a South Sydney supporter, and it was about or it was last year, I think, sometime that you delivered some news on the radio which gutted a lot of South supporters, if you probably remember.
Remind me, Cole.
About a player that was playing for South. You came on the radio and you said that your mail was that Angus Crichton was as good as signed to the Roosters.
Mm, yeah.
And that sort of buggered a lot of South supporters. But, Jimmy, what I wanted to ask you was, what are South's chances of getting someone like a Jaden Sewer or a Corey Oates from the Broncos?
Cole, I think they've got so many good young forwards coming through that there is no way they can keep them all.
Bother?
No, there's no way they could keep them all. So I think they'll have to have a sale up there at the Broncos. They won't want to, but the salary cap will ensure. They've got a guy there by the name of David Fifita. He's 18, right? I'll give you some background on him, Cole. He was the best schoolboy footballer in the country last year. He was nearly signed by the Parramatta Eels. They passed him over. Broncos got him. I don't know what they paid for him, but he played in the Queensland under-18 side against New South Wales. He ran for 200 metres. That was on the Wednesday night. Then he played on the Saturday in the men's comp. So he's only just, he's still under 18. Yep. He played in the men's comp. Yep. He ran for 200 metres 3 days later in the Intra Super Cup. Yeah. And he's going to be starting today for the Broncos. He's a star.
He's the first player born in 2000 beyond to play in NRL first grade.
Yeah.
For Fifita.
Right. Well, I remember, would have been a while ago now, you'd know that Payne Haas came on for the Broncos. It was his first game.
Yep.
And I forget who they played, but well, it might have been the Rabbits, I don't know. But whoever they played, he was an absolute freak, he's playing arse. And one of the commentators actually said that night, don't worry about this guy, he's 20 years old, he's over the hill. The Broncos have got this kid that's 18,
Fifita. Yeah.
But so what, South, would they go for someone like a Sewer or a Corey Oates that would maybe take the place of Crichton?
They were looking at Felice Kaufusi. I think Felice has already re-signed with the Melbourne Storm. There's definitely an opportunity there. They were prepared, I think, to go to about that $600,000 for Angus Crichton. That wasn't enough, so it means that they've got it there in their cap. So, Cole, stick around for an announcement on that. I mean, we had Anthony Seabot on. We probably could have asked him that, but he would have batted us off very nicely about
early days in negotiations.
Yeah, absolutely. But, it's an interesting one. Good on you, Cole. We appreciate it. Good call. 1353 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back with more. It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Ray and Jimmy.
For more grunt, talk and comfort, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts with the BT50 XT 4x4 manual now $39,990 drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MT18808.
Fiji Friday at Panthers Penrith gives you the chance to score one of 16 holidays for two. Two beautiful Fiji, but naturally, Jim, you've got to be a member. So
of course.
What are you waiting for? Join today. It's only
$5.
You got it. And score a ticket into the draw straight away. Then earn one ticket a day just by swiping. Plus, additional tickets.
Could I ask you a personal question,
Ray?
You
can.
If you went to Osso's and you weren't a member and then had to pay for your meal and then you went to Osso's and bought exactly the same stuff and were a member, you would save more than $5, wouldn't you?
You're all over this, Jim.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You might as well be a member.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
just do it. So, plus additional tickets when you purchase food and drinks, like at Osso's.
Mm.
And when you mention the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend at the Members' Centre, we'll move on from that. Panthers Penrith, home to 11, I say it all the time, Jimmy, fantastic restaurants, 7 bars, live entertainment, and Fiji Friday every Friday during July.
Let's work out a time that we're going to come out.
You just name it.
Okay.
There.
All right. Done.
Sign up today at panthers.com.au.
Initially, no problem.
Cut out pass. It's Gurundrei away from one. Two. Over the 10-metre mark. He kicks ahead.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Time now to have a chat to Trent Lenscar from tab.com.au. And I just wanted to say, Trent, were the Mighty Flying Hawthorn, were the Mighty Flying Hawks, not so much yesterday, again, Brisbane Lions get them. Good morning, mate.
Good morning to you, Jimmy and Ray. And I'm taking from the old adage or fable due to the World Cup hours of been sleeping during the afternoon, so if the tree falls in the woods and you don't hear it, does it actually happen? I didn't see a minute of the game. I've seen the low lights.
Yes.
I'm pretending that that didn't occur yesterday in Launceston, fellas.
Well, as far as the season's concerned with Carlton, I'm pretending it hasn't occurred either. I'm just moving on. And we've got round 18 in the NRL. Three really big games today, Trent.
That is right there, Ray. So the first of those, 2 o'clock at Suncorp Stadium. Brisbane, $1.65. The Warriors, $2.30. The money is 6-1 in favour of the Broncos.
Whoa.
The line is 2.5. And by that there, Jimmy, all thinking, I know that Peter Peters is all, but he said 13-plus for the Broncos. Are you along those same lines?
I worry about this game. The Warriors, off that Penrith loss, they've made a habit of bouncing back the next week all season.
They play well in Brisbane. They play well against the Broncos, and they'll be a huge support for the Warriors up there in Queensland. No, I'm going to go to the Broncos.
Okay, that's the 2 o'clock game there. That was really good sauce. 4:10 at Jubilee Oval, you have St George Illawarra, $1.38, and West Tigers, $3.10, a line of 8.5. No surprise, 70% of the support for the Dragons, and they should be keeping on their winning ways despite what occurred in Melbourne last week.
Nene McDonald, first try scorer.
$9 there, Jimmy.
All right, there we go.
Gold Coast and Roosters, Trent?
Well, obviously a lot is hinging on what is happening with the Sydney Roosters lineup, but you have Gold Coast at present $2.50, the Sydney Roosters $1.55, and the line there is 4.5. At least the Roosters, they have won 5 of their last 6 against the Titans, but I guess you're probably going to say, fellas, wait till about 5:30 an hour before the game to see who's actually going to be playing
Cooper
for the Tricolours.
Cooper Cronk is a big question mark there. Cordner, Tedesco, Mitchell all not playing. Mm. So I think
still they can win.
So I think at that, $2.50 offers that is value for the Gold Coast, despite they are really poor against the Broncos.
Yeah, I think Roosters 1-12.
Yeah. All right, let's go. AFL.
The three games, 1:10 at the MCG, Collingwood $1.52, West Coast $2.60, the line is 11.5. This is big for the top four. Collingwood have been in great form. They keep winning despite injuries. West Coast, they recovered after a losing streak against GWS last week. Just with it at the MCG, just favour the Magpies. 3:20 at Etihad Stadium, North Melbourne $2, Sydney $1.85. This is a tight one, fellas. The odds do suggest it. The Kangaroos have been the surprise packet. Just a bit up and down the last month, but the Swans, they lost to Richmond.
Few big outs.
And then Geelong. So it's a really tough one. I'd just maybe say North Melbourne. Just worried about Sydney at the moment.
There's a few big outs this afternoon, Trent, isn't there, for Sydney, which just brings them back to the field a bit. Sorry, mate.
But
Fremantle
Buddy might be just enough to get them over across the line the way he is. And then 4:40 at Optus Stadium. Fremantle's $4.80. Port Adelaide $1.20. The line is 26.5. Frio are missing some of their stars, so I think the power should be too good there, fellas. Aside from that, you've got the men's final at Wimbledon tonight. Sorry, Ray, that Roger's not there. He's conqueror. Kevin Anderson is a $5 outsider against Novak Djokovic at $1.18. Djokovic holds a 5-1 advantage over Anderson, and they've actually met twice at Wimbledon, and Djokovic won both of those in 2011 and 2015. And you've also discussed the World Cup. We'll just mention the winner, so it doesn't matter if it needs extra time or a penalty shootout. France are $1.42, and Croatia $2.85. Guess the other thing, fellas, we had a promotion before the World Cup, the group to goal, so you had to choose the 8 group winners. Now, no one was able to do that, but we had 158 people that chose 7 of the 8 group winners. Gentleman Michael from Adelaide, they were picked out, and they have $1 million. They had to tip a player to score the first goal this evening, and they have selected France's Antoine Griezmann. So if Antoine Griezmann scores the first goal in the World Cup final, they will take away $1 million.
Wow.
How good's that?
Good luck.
Obviously, so they'll be very keen for Griezmann there. Just also, Ray, from a racing point of view, US Navy flag was $51 before the July Cup win last night, now $11 for the Everest. So there's just something there from a racing point of view. Lots happening, fellas. You can check out the markets at tab.com.au.
Good on you, Trent. Great job. Trent Lanscale there from tab.com.au. Just before we get to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons, Jimmy and Ray, just touching on what Bulldog Richie said about coaches being a bit more media-friendly. Anthony Seibold is just that. Very impressive. That's John from Moorbank. Yeah, good point. Here's another one that's come in from Scooter too. What about the rule that allows players from New South Wales to play for Queensland? Good point. Sorry. And he says, P.S., just on clothing, I would imagine Ray wearing Versace and Jimmy donning a Lowe's number. Pretty close to the mark there, yeah, actually. And then this one we get from our friend Master Monkey, which leads us nicely into
Stevie Foster.
Scotty Foster. Just waiting for Scotty Foster. Hope he's got one with a circular steering wheel, roof-mounted rear vision mirror, an easily accessible bit of metal to hold the bonnet up if required. Oh, yeah. Black in colour, too. That's from Master
Monkey. He's so good, mate. Different take on life, isn't he, Master Monkey?
Very different take. Very different. This man's got a different take on life as well. G'day, Scotty Foster.
Yeah, good morning, boys. How
morning,
are you?
Scotty. Terrific, mate. Did we sell that car last week, Scotty?
Yeah, how'd we go?
No, we didn't sell that one, boys. It has been sold during the week.
Oh, okay.
To a listener. But, I was going to try something a little bit different today. I've traded a very nice vehicle, which I thought I might advertise because it's one very cheap car.
Yes.
This is a BA. It's a 2004 BA Futura. It comes standard with air conditioning, power steering, power windows, cruise control, traction control, ABS brakes, dual front airbag, 16-inch alloy wheels and remote central locking. This is a very nice light blue in colour, powered by an extremely reliable six-cylinder engine. And the Falcon Futura was a very popular family vehicle due to its safety and reliability. But this one's not going to disappoint, boys, especially when it's on sale today for somebody at just $2,990.
Whoa,
so don't miss this very cheap car. You've got to go to the website, www.fosterspolitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024. I don't think we've ever advertised a car that cheap on the show.
I don't think so, Scotty. No. It won't last. I can't see that lasting. But if anyone needs any help, just even with some finance packages, Scotty, they only have to ask.
Yeah, certainly do. Like, don't forget our great finance packages. We've got access to a number of lenders with some great rates. But this also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, starting in your business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driver, then go to our website, www.fosterspolitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024, and we can help you get into a vehicle as soon as today. A
couple of teams running around today. Big game for Wente. The Bears picking up a point yesterday, so they've leapfrogged them on the table. When do you need to start winning to make those semi-finals? They've got the Dragons.
Yeah, we've got a big game against the Dragons at Jubilee today. The kickoff is at 1:45, and yeah, Jimmy, we need to string a few wins together to sort of try and get back into that top eight. That's for sure.
Mm.
And the Wennies Ron Massey Cup side, they're having a lot better season. They're leading the comp at the moment. They got Bo Henry playing there. He's the leading point scorer in that competition by about 100 points. He's absolutely killing it. They're playing Guildford at Macready Oval at 3 p.m.
Yeah. A little birdie told me that you might be heading out to the races next Saturday. Is that right, Scotty?
I am going to head out. I'm looking forward to a great day.
Yeah.
We'll look after you, Scotty. I'll text you after the show, mate.
That'll be great, Ray. I appreciate all your help and looking forward to getting out there and hopefully making some money.
Hang on. I appreciate all your help. That, to me, is code for Ray's help. Ray's got tickets for you. Is that right?
Yeah, Ray is helping me.
Scotty's been a long-time supporter of this show, so it's the least I can do, Scotty.
Thanks very much.
Good on you, mate.
Appreciate it.
Good on you, Scotty. Enjoy the races, and we might speak to you the next day. We'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yes. Okay. I'll line that up in case.
You'll be right.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks, boys.
See you, mate.
There he is, Scotty Foster from fosterspolitycars.com.au. Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars online, fosterspolitycars.com.au. The number 96375024. Coming up on Racing HQ, Chantelle Buckley is going to preview today's Hawkesbury meeting. Gary Cleese looks at Grafton, and of course the BSB back tomorrow morning at 5:30. I'm filling in for TK for a week.
Oh,
so
a whole week. You'll be tired and cranky next Sunday.
Like it's new, Ray.
Who's asleep at the wheel on the panel punching this morning? Multiple opportunities to play the Titanic theme every time that Roger's been mentioned and Ray's been tearing at. Come on, there needs to be an investigation from Paramat. You know what, though? Panel operator Hamish has come in this week under duress.
Yes.
You bagged the poor guy last week, so you banned an excuse.
I didn't bag him.
You said, worst excuse you ever heard, you've been in a car accident. And the guy's got a cracked sternum. He's playing hurt, and he's phoned up this morning to work. Outstanding performance from panel operator Hamish.
All I said about panel operator Hamish is that, you know, a lot of people go to different lengths to not come onto this program. Yourself involved in a car accident and cracking your sternum is one of the more extreme ones I've heard
about. It's a great point, Ray.
Thank you, Mossy. But I'll let me say this, though, and Paramat might have highlighted something here where it just wasn't quite on the mark there.
I understand. He's playing hurt.
But when you take the field of play, doesn't matter. if you have to take a... Apparently he's had a couple of pain injections for the sternum. No, well, but once you get on the field, though, you've got to...
I say it every week, you're a very hard man, James.
There you go.
Very hard man.
Here we go. We've got something from Sava. Yeah. Nick Meaney is a Ballina Junior. Certainly is the grandson of the late Dennis Meaney.